Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Vimano, your host, and I am here to help you. You're an achiever, a business owner, a leader, whatever you are. I am here to help you move forward. Michelle Ashby is my guest today. Michelle, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, Dave. How are you?
You know, I'm good now. Now that I'm talking to you. So, Michelle, do you know what Avanti means?
Oh, I'm testing. No. You know what? I just got back from Italy. I should know this.
You should know.
Yes.
It means move forward.
All right.
So move forward. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to move our listeners forward. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Michelle, you and I go back, gosh, how long? 20 years maybe? Maybe more?
Yeah, I think a little bit more.
We're kindred spirits because we both come from the birthing ground of radio sales, right? I mean, that's like, even though we never worked for the same station, it's almost like being in the Army together. I mean, it's like you were in the Army. I'm not like we were, but if you were in the Army and I was in the Army, we would have a special connection.
Yes.
And radio sales is so intense that you have an ultimate respect for anybody that has done it, right?
And survived.
And
yes.
Survived. Did not die in the process, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a boot camp for sales. Like, if you could sell radio advertising, you could sell pretty much anything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're selling airtime. You're selling something that's very intangible. I remember when I was selling it, I never remember one of my clients saying, hey, someone just walked in and said that they heard your ad and they're buying something. I mean, it's just... You know, hi, I just heard your ad on radio and I'm going to buy a car. Like, people just don't say that. You know, we know that radio works, just like billboards work and et cetera, but it's just a tough thing because it's intangible. So if you could really sell advertising on radio and then, you know, prove that it works, which it does, I think you're a very good salesperson, right? So,
yes.
Yeah. So I'm doing all the talking, Michelle. I'm sorry. So Michelle Ashby, the owner of Tipping Point Media, and PR services, right?
No, we have changed our name.
It's a whole reinvention.
Like, we changed our name 3 years ago.
Where have I been?
I don't know.
Communications.
Tipping Point Communications.
I'm holding your bio. I should know that.
That's all right. There is a long story about why the change and all that. So if you wanted to hear about that, we could.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a great, I'm gonna say ad agency. Is that safe to say?
Or do you marketing
communications,
yes.
Yeah. So you focus on helping clients with strategic planning, media planning, and buying, digital marketing, public relations, inbound marketing, and research. 25 years in the experience of your experience. You have offices in Rochester, of course, Buffalo, and Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes.
Why Cleveland?
Because I was born there.
That is awesome. All right. I love it. I love it. I know that you do a lot of PR work in town. You're really leading the way with digital communications and digital marketing as well. I mean, you're doing all this stuff great, but I just heard your name mentioned in those areas a lot lately, so congratulations.
Thank you.
So Michelle Ashby, great founder and CEO of this awesome company that came out of nowhere, and now it's like a household name in Rochester, and you drive down University, and it's right across from Joe Bean, and so very well-known company at this point. Where did it all begin? So, you know, your first, I think you told me in college, did you sell advertising for the school newspaper?
I did, yeah. Yep.
And I did that too. My God, we're so much alike.
Yeah, yeah, and it was interesting because I went to school for journalism, and I wanted to write for the paper, which is one of the only student newspapers that came out every single day of the week.
Wow.
I know.
I know they came out 3 days a week, and I thought I was cool.
Yeah, you're not as
so
cool.
So I'm not as cool as I thought I was.
Yeah, so when I was told that they were going to pay me by the word, I'm like, okay, I speak in bullet points. How's that going to work for me long term?
You're not going to write Moby Dick, right?
I'm not. So I met a girl there who said, you know, I'm in journalism too, but this gig over here where you sell the ads for the paper, you're going to make a lot of money. I said, okay. So she's like, it's 100% commission, but it's fun. You get to meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
You help these businesses grow their business. And I'm like, all right, let me try it out.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into advertising sales. And I actually never really looked back at that point. Finished school selling print ads, went into Gannett in Cincinnati for a while. But it wasn't long before I met all the radio people in Cincinnati who, as you know, Dave, Lots of fun.
Lots of fun.
Especially when you're in rock radio.
Yeah, you need to have fun in radio, right? Because it's so tough, right?
Well, and you're in your 20s.
Yes.
So you...
Yep.
It's the best job on earth for somebody who's in their 20s.
Right, yeah.
So did that for many years and then traveled to some other cities to work there. And one of my favorite stops along the way was at Virgin Radio in England, where I helped Richard Branson, not directly, but indirectly, launch his radio station, Virgin Radio. Mm-hmm. And I got to wear neon yellow Virgin jean jacket every day in rush hour traffic and you know, be the promotions team there. So it was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
And you can imagine the jokes.
Right. I imagine all the skid marks of people just like stopping to look at you, right?
Yeah, because we traveled in packs of 16 because you have to make a real impact in London with that traffic. So, so yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then got into management of some radio stations. Pretty much always stuck with the rock radio format. And then ventured into television sales when radio really started to change. Once all the banks and...
Big VC firms and
all
that.
Yeah, when they were acquiring all those radio stations, it became very different in terms of the culture and how they were operating, and it wasn't nearly as fun.
When I joined radio in 91, a company was only allowed to own one FM and one AM in a market. And that's when it was fun, right? I mean, it was like we're competitive, almost like a sports team. We were all against each other and, you know, the other stations. And then before you know it, the same company owned like, you know, six stations in a market. And it's like, wait, I'm against you, but we're on the same team. What's going on here, right?
But you could fight in the hallways and have some really awesome knockdown brawls.
I just know you did that. I love that.
Of course I did, because everybody was calling on the same clients, right?
Right.
And sometimes you would lose.
Yeah.
And that wasn't fun.
Michelle Ashby does not like to lose. Right.
I do not like to lose. Right.
Yeah. So doing the radio and management, right? So.
Yep. Got into management, did the television thing. So.
And that was still in Ohio?
No. By that time, I was back here in Rochester.
Okay.
Because my company bought the Nerve.
Yep.
So that's actually where you and I met. You were at Max and I was at the Nerve.
Right, yeah.
So,
but ironically, sorry to interrupt you, but I started out, my first job was at 95.1, which was the Nerve. But when I was there, it was a different format called Wish 95. Mm-hmm. And it was number 11 out of 10 stations. You wish it wasn't on the air. It was that bad. It was like, it was not only Barry Manilow, Barbara Streisand, it was the instrumentals of Barry Manilow, Barbara Streisand. So, but, you know, I out of college, I got $150 a week draw. Mm-hmm. And my new JCPenney suit, and I was ready to go.
Right.
So
imagine those listeners when they turned on the radio and heard Howard Stern
and then
95.1, 95.5.
Right. It changed just a little bit.
Yeah, that was a big change.
I think we gave some heart attacks for sure.
I'll bet. So that's how I got back into Rochester. But by the time I got into the TV sales side of things, I met a woman who was running her media buying firm, Media Matters, and she was ready to sell it and all that, so she sold it to a family friend of mine who then hired me to help manage that division of his company. So at that time I was working for a full service ad agency and running the media department, and there was another agency, a creative agency, that was up for sale at that time. Big shop. And the owner of my agency that I was working for wanted to acquire that. And around that same time, I was pregnant, and I wanted to have my own thing, make up my own hours.
Right.
So I made an offer to buy that division from him, spin it out.
Hey, Michelle, on that note,
yeah,
that's a very good segue. We got to take a quick break, and we will be right back. We'll leave them wanting more.
Okay. Woo!
Be right back.
Fox News' Tim Shalhoub takes on the news stories of the day with comedic insight. Weekdays 3 to 6 on WOKR.
Grandma, can you come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh, my. You might want to come here and help Grandma.
What's the matter, Grandma? Can't you stand?
Oh, sorry, honey. It's my knees. They don't work the way they used to.
Does this ever happen to you? Are you on Medicare? You may qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Call the Health Hotline to see if you qualify. Our friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have braces for your shoulder, ankle, or back pain. And if you're covered by Medicare, you may qualify for free delivery.
Grandma, slow down. I can't keep up.
Maybe you can use a knee brace too, Ellie. Catch me if you can, kiddo.
Call now to get your pain-relieving knee brace. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Are you tired of paying high prices for TV channels you don't watch? Of course you are. You want to watch and pay for the channels you like. Now you can take back control of your TV with Dish's FlexPack. Get over 50 of America's favorite channels for just $39.99 per month, and then add the channel packs that you want. And your TV price won't go up for 2 years, guaranteed. Plus, when you call today, you'll get free standard installation in up to 6 rooms and a free HD DVR upgrade. Need more channels? Dish offers loaded channel lineups from $54.99 per month, featuring over 190 channels, and HBO is included for a full year. And for a limited time, GoDish will give you a $100 prepaid Visa card when you sign up and mention offer code GIFT100. Call now, 800-518-8624. 800-518-8624. 800-518-8624.
Packages, prices, and promotions subject to change. Gift card courtesy of GoDish.com. Call for details.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. And we are helping leaders, business owners, anybody just move forward with what they want to do with their life. Today I'm interviewing Michelle Ashby, who's the founder and CEO of Tipping Point Communications, a great media company here in lovely Rochester, New York, and Buffalo, and Cleveland, and they do business really all over the place, right? So Michelle is telling us about her story, about how she got to where she is today. And she left off at a great point where, she's pregnant, wanted to buy a company, do her own thing, and so continue on with the journey here.
Yeah, so I had an awesome opportunity from the guy who owned the ad agency I worked for, and he let me make him an offer, spun the thing out, named it Tipping Point Media at the time.
Yep.
And what that allowed me to do was to start something that already had a client base. And it already had a staff that knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And it already had some revenue coming in.
Yeah.
So I would say that way of starting a company was the best way for me.
Yeah.
The idea of throwing up a shingle one day and saying, hey,
right,
I'm open for business. I don't know that I could have done it that way. This really gave it some momentum and some
You were able to hit the ground running.
Yeah. So that's how Tipping Point got started.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, I know what Tipping Point means, but how did you choose that name?
Yeah, so it's actually my all-time favorite book.
Yep,
by Malcolm Gladwell. So the Tipping Point, for anybody who hasn't read it, is about a lot of different trends that caught on fire, that really took off. So whether it's Hush Puppy Shoes or something else, the idea behind what a tipping point is, which is the moment in time when something, an idea or a product catches fire, that's what we aspire to do for our clients. We don't want to literally burn their buildings down, but we want to help them get their message.
Ignite them.
Exactly.
Yeah, very cool. And so, I'm sorry, you started Tipping Point how long ago now?
It's 2005.
Yeah. All right. And back then, I mean, what were you doing back then? Was it media buying, a little creative for the most part?
Yeah, there's no creative. Right then, when I started, it was just media buying. Radio, TV, outdoor, and print.
Yeah. But you've really expanded. I mean, I just read before what you're doing. I mean, you're doing public relations. You're doing a lot of digital marketing, inbound marketing. And in today's, world, when you first bought the agency, I assume, you were doing pretty much 0% buying on social media, right? And now it's And now it's like the main thing almost, right? Yeah. I mean, like, what can you do on Google and in social media, digital media? It's such a different world, right?
Yeah.
How do you keep up? How do you keep up with all this stuff, you know?
So I've been told that my superpower is vision, mm-hmm. right? And that I can actually see the future.
Wow.
So it's,
okay.
This is what my team says.
Where am I going to be in 10 years? Can you tell me?
I can guess your hair color.
Right. Hey, it might be a little grayer. Absolutely.
It might be. But, you know, when I first started seeing what Facebook was doing, I wanted to figure out a way that it could help the nonprofit clients that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
Over half of our business is actually with nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a culture here, all of us have this strong bend where we really want to spend a lot of time volunteering and giving back and all that. So we took this opportunity, I think more sooner than most did, to hop on and figure out how can you use this tool to promote for free your nonprofit organization.
Right.
So that's really kind of how it started with us. And it was before anybody really was taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was these nonprofits loved it because it was free.
Yeah.
And they could manage it internally without a lot of cost. Of course, the time it takes costs man hours and things like that. But as it started catching fire itself, this whole social media thing with MySpace, if you remember that,
yep.
and then Twitter, and LinkedIn, what became obvious is that a lot of our clients did not have in-house writing capacity and they weren't creative writers. So we started doing a little bit of that. And that's actually how we got into the public relations side of the business and content marketing now as well. So we started providing content for them that they would then post. Then we were doing training for them on how to build their followers, and so it was a lot of consulting work,
right?
A lot of retainer work, which really was probably the first thing that really, when we were looking at our growth plan, that was the first point in which Tipping Point really started to take off.
Yeah, yeah. So it just kind of was like an evolution. Like, you know, as much as you could see the future, it was a step-by-step process. Like, you saw what Facebook was doing, and they needed content to be able to advertise on digital media, so you helped them with the content, then you helped them market it, and then now, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn, I mean, you could do so many things when it comes to kind of hand-picking, you know, who you want to reach,
mm-hmm.
right, and how much you want to spend, and you could even say, you know, I'm going to reach 50,000 people, and it's going to cost me X amount of, like, you'd be very, very specific about it, right?
Right.
Which is crazy, you know, I mean, it's like, I remember, you know, when I started, there was, you know, TV, radio, and print, and what was the old saying by Wrigley? 50% of my advertising works, 50% doesn't. I just don't know which is which, right? And now you can really get very specific about what's working because you can track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is the next big bump for our company because we've just spent the last year developing our own proprietary software to collect the data from campaigns in real time and be able to have insights on a daily basis on how clients or campaigns are going.
Right.
And then having clients have access to that data and the insights is a big step for the agency. There's a lot of companies out there that do it already, and there's software subscriptions that you can grab your data and it'll go into a chart, but then nobody knows what to do with it, right? Like, what is it saying?
Yeah.
So because we're able to pull all that stuff in now, we've got this extra time that we don't have to go in and manually pull data from different sources. We can now spend our time being strategic and helping clients analyze the data and give them better insights on how to grow their business, where their leads are coming from, what is the strategy to connect and engage with those people, and what kind of messages need to be tailored for each type of target that's coming in? Because not everybody's the same.
Right.
I mean, you and I may both be in the market for the same thing,
yeah.
but how to talk to you is very different So how somebody would talk to me.
Sure,
In a marketing message.
And where does this leave traditional media? I mean, you know, radio, TV, print. Where do you find them in the mix?
Yeah, so this tool actually helps support the idea that traditional media is still very much alive and well.
Yeah.
Because
that's good to hear considering we're on radio right now, right?
It is. Because this data, and anybody who has Google Analytics can tell you, if you're running a TV or radio campaign,
yeah,
as soon as you put the gas on with TV and radio, the website visits go up.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it goes down.
Still a piece of the pie.
It is.
It drives people to this digital media.
Yeah. Well, it's a two-screen world, right? So
at any given time.
Yeah. Sometimes it's three or four. But if you're watching a television, you most likely have your phone or an iPad or something. And if you're listening to the radio, you likely have your phone in your hand
doing
something at the same time. So
every night, starting about 8 o'clock, I have the TV on in my family room. I have my laptop on my lap, and I'm answering emails. And my phone's right next to me.
Yeah.
And it's terrible, but that's how I'm keeping up with things, right?
Yeah.
The TV on, little background thing, something interesting on the news, but I'm catching up with emails, checking Facebook a little bit here and there, right?
Yeah. Tweeting about whatever's on television, like the red carpet or whatever.
Right,
What is she wearing?
Baseball games, which you have maybe been watching recently, right? So.
Yeah.
I imagine you're in New York, but the tribe is still in your blood, right?
It is,
so yeah,
to the core. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about a little personal story here. Another Cleveland person, Diana Fisher.
Yes.
Who's been with me for she's 16, 17 years. She's from Cleveland. And hi, Diana. And, she's going to make all the promos that promote the show. So, but I met her through you because you had already graduated college, but you went back and met her and then brought her to Rochester for a job at WCMF back in the day, right?
Yeah, she did not want to do radio. What is up with that?
she was just too smart for it,
Probably, actually. That's probably true.
Yeah. But she, turned out to be more of a creative, I guess, more than a just a hardcore saleswoman, which, at the end of the day, if you're not hardcore in sales, radio's going to chew you up and spit you out, right? So, all right. So since you're such a cool visionary, I mean, where are we going in 5 or 10 years? I mean, do you have any ideas? I mean, is Facebook going to be out and something else is going to be in? Or do you think it's just going to be still a piece of the pie, but we'll have like four new things that we have to keep track of? I mean, any thoughts about where this is all going?
Yeah. I actually don't think Facebook is going away.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to continue to evolve and just become a larger channel that has more capabilities to it. Let's think about how they have acquired Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So it's all part of Facebook.
Right.
If you want to run ads on Instagram, you have to go through Facebook to get them anyway. So it's going to become its own multi-channel source.
Its own media company that we can't ignore.
I mean, the engagement rates on Facebook, they say are dropping, but it doesn't mean that people are stopping using it. It's just
I still check it, I could see the engagement being a little bit less because it's become such an emotional place, right? Especially in politics.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, let's relax because you have your opinions, which is great, but I don't think you're going to change anybody's mind on Facebook, but people still think they are, right?
They need an outlet to vent, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know some people who just do it just to vent, but
I'm like,
why don't you go to the gym?
Yeah. Go
take a walk.
Go do something more healthy,
right?
Yeah. Go get some boxing gloves and go to the gym and punch away or something, right? Yeah. So,
I think the future is more around content marketing.
Yeah.
And content, the way it's defined now, is sort of this combination of social media, public relations, lead generation, CRM program. It's this thing where all these big avenues that we've treated as separate have now come together.
Yeah.
And that is now content marketing. So I think that that's really where the world is going. It's like, how do you integrate every aspect of marketing to build a solid return on investment strategy for whomever's paying for it?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. Now, this is, I mean, you know, the business you chose, I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world. This is a tough business, right? I mean, you know, I remember in the 90s, there were a ton of agencies in town, a lot of big agencies, and a lot of them had disappeared. I'll say most of them have disappeared, and there's a, you know, I could probably count on maybe two hands, probably like one and a half of some agencies like yours that are still left in Rochester, like doing really well. What are some of the things that you attribute that success to? I mean, obviously you have grit and determination and you're wicked smart. What are, I'm going to boost your ego big time, but what are some, I mean, why, you know, how are you able to just continue to grow and grow and grow? I mean, I don't want you to give away your secret sauce, I guess, but some tips that you could give to some other business owners, agencies or not, that you can kind of give them some advice on some things to survive in today's dog-eat-dog world, you know?
Well, he did not pay me to say this, but I believe that having a strong coach is very important. Mm-hmm. I have had the same coach for the last 13 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And I belong to a CEO roundtable, and there's many of them out there that you can choose from.
You're in Vistage, right?
I am.
And there's an EO and YPO and WPO. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of great things out there.
Yeah, and I'm actually in WPO as well.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that when you get into these groups and when you allow yourself to be honest, transparent, and vulnerable, you get a lot more out of it, and that you don't join to stroke each other's egos. You join to work on your business. And it's one of the hardest things to do, to give up one or two days a month to go participate and be all in these groups. But that has made a huge difference for me. The other thing is hiring the best support team you can. And when I say support, I'm talking about your lawyers. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about your accounting team. Not your in-house accounting team, but your advisors, I guess.
Yeah.
Those types of people have been very instrumental in helping me make good decisions. But then your leadership team in-house, you have got to empower them to be able to make their own decisions when you are not here and not get mad for the decisions they make. You just have to let them do their jobs and trust that they've got your best interest at heart.
Yeah, love that. Hey, Michelle, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou. Lou is one of you and make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou is like you. He's on meds too.
Call 800-298-0139, 800-298-0139, 800-298-0139. Again, that's 800-298-0139.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-660-9974 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-660-9974 to take your call now. Call 877-660-9974. That's 877-660-9974. Again, 877-660-9974.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back. You are listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Bono, your host. I am with the awesome, the massively awesome Michelle Ashby from Tipping Point Communications. I am also Tipping Point Media again. Tipping Point Communications. It's been 3 years that, and it's because really, you're doing so much more than media. You're doing everything from media planning, strategic planning, public relations, digital marketing, inbound marketing, research, and so much more. So I understand the upgrade in the name. In fact, you have a room here that has one of those those hidden windows. What do you call it? Is that
two-way mirror?
Two-way mirror sounds better. where people come in here and you can do research studies, and the people are behind the two-way mirror, listening to the results and be able to do some real bona fide, real research studies, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Research is it's an interesting little thing that we just stuck our toe in to, 13 years ago. We had a client who needed to test every single thing before it went on the air.
Yeah.
And it was through New York State, and they were running at a really rapid pace. So we had to build our own focus group facility in our last location. And we started renting it out to different agencies and companies over the years. And that part of our business just started growing and growing.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things to do now is one-to-one interviews with key stakeholders, C-level decision makers, and get insights for clients who are trying to get feedback on their mm-hmm. sponsorships or their products or their relationships. So in-depth interviews, that's one of my favorite things these days to work on.
That's great. Well, very innovative. I mean, you offer a great variety of services here that, I'll go back to a similar mission. So you have been nominated, right, as the, you were named, right, the Business Person of the Year in 2014. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I've been nominated twice, didn't win.
You got to do it again.
The Susan Lucci of the awards here. maybe. And then you were a member of the 40 Under 40.
Yep.
And we were in the same. I can't remember. I was too, but I can't remember the class I was in now.
I think I was 2006, maybe. Yeah.
This is 2007.
Okay,
yep.
There you go.
But I forgot what year I was. Every year I was 39, I just made it under. I think they felt sorry for me. I'm like, all right, Dave's. He's going to be 40. We got to let him in. So you've done some great things in Rochester, and I believe you're top 100 company, right?
Yes, for the first time.
Yep.
We entered this year because we thought we had some decent numbers.
Our
accounting firm said, I think you should think about it this year. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So we entered, and yes, we're going to find out, I guess, in a couple weeks.
What number you are?
Yes.
Yeah, how cool.
Yeah.
I did that once years ago. I was number 98.
Ooh.
just
that's awesome.
Made it.
You did, yeah. I think that's awesome.
I rarely say the number. I'm just saying, yeah, top 100, but, you know, 98, right? So, but it is fun. It is fun. And you know, like me, who, when I was building my magazine and had, you know, a fair amount of employees, I always was very instigative about creating a great culture. And I know you do the same thing. And I walk around your office and I see everybody's disc profile right on their door or their cubby. So tell me about that. You're obviously a big believer in disc. And how has that helped you and an organization just, you know, continue to thrive?
Yeah, it's one thing to have everybody take the disc profile and then throw their letters mm-hmm. up there. We actually have invested in some coaching around that. So there's a woman we've engaged with who comes into our agency meetings once a month, and she'll do an hour and a half, 2 hours of brain-based coaching on mm-hmm. how to get rid of the stuff in your filing cabinet and start thinking differently mm-hmm. and how to communicate better with people who are not like you,
yeah.
but also how to communicate better with people who are like you so that you can kind of have more honest discussions. I think
more effective too, right?
Yeah. Effective was never a problem for us. I think it was the honest. You know, I think people come to work and they feel like they have to put on this face, right?
Yeah.
And regardless of what's happening in your life, personally or professionally, here at our office, we want people to come as they are and be more transparent, not only in how they're feeling and what's going on in their life, but also how they're doing their work,
right?
So it's important for us to have a high level of trust with our clients that they're getting the real deal all the time. So that takes a lot of coaching because there is it's showbiz, right?
Right.
But I think what makes our firm different is that we have a certain level of
authenticity.
Authenticity.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's funny. I got some words that I can't pronounce.
Authenticity.
Either.
That maybe makes us a little bit different.
Yeah.
How we do our.
Well, I think people that know you, I don't think anybody would ever accuse you of being a nebulous person, a person beating around the bush. Like, you're going to tell it like it is. But I think also people will agree that you try to be tactful about it. I mean, you're not like this Mack truck rolling over people and
right.
saying, look what I just did. I think there's an art to it. And, you know, I worked with a guy named John Engels, who was my coach in the past. And he really taught us how to be, he called it, you know, candid yet tactful. So hit him right between the eyes with what they got to hear, mm-hmm. but make sure that they know you're doing it from a place of true care.
Of love, yeah.
Of love, yeah. Like, I want you to be your best. I need you to be your best for the company. So, like, it's selfish a little bit, but at the same time, this is what you need to do. This is what the company needs from you, but do it in a way that's not like mean spirited, right? So,
yeah.
And DISC, for those of you, those listeners that don't know what DISC is, tell us a little bit more about DISC because I love it. So,
you've got some people use colors.
Yeah.
You know, so the D's are usually red,
right?
You know, decisive.
The drivers,
directive,
right?
Drivers. So there's a
what
lot.
What are you, by the way?
I don't know. You guess.
I'm going to say you're a high DI.
Yeah,
yeah. Same with me. Yeah.
What was your first clue?
The DIs are the visionaries. The loud people, right?
I am actually an introvert.
Are you really?
I really am. Yep.
Interesting.
It's interesting. You can be a high D and be an introvert, but you've got the sociable types that are I's, and then the C's who are
just very compliant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and that's you know, I had my team take the DISC as well. And it's funny I've never been egotistical, but I kind of just thought that most people thought like me, you know, like I just thought that there was this. You know, it's just common way of thinking, right? And then you kind of get frustrated when, you know, everybody does not think like you. And I was very clear about that. I thought, why did they not do it? And then you finally realize, okay, people are very different, right? And then so you get some of these S's and C's who are very, they're righteous, but quiet, they're compliant. A lot of times the D's and the I's are ready, fire, aim. Mm-hmm. And that drives the C's nuts because they're ready. aim. And maybe they'll fire.
Somebody fire.
Yeah. Maybe they'll fire, you know?
Yeah.
So like you said before, when you do go through these DISC coaching exercises and have everybody take the assessments and learn who they are, you might approach another D much differently than you're going to approach somebody who you know is like
Absolutely.
A high C. Because if you approach a high C the way you approach a D, you're going to just steamroll them, right?
Yeah.
They're going to flip out and have an anxiety attack, right?
Yeah, and I'm not a pro at this. I still have probably I had lunch with one of our team members a couple of months ago, and I thought the lunch went great, you know, because the intent was to give this person compliments and feedback. Like, I was really happy with what she had been producing. She came back and said it was like the worst meeting she'd ever had. Oh my God, what did I do?
Right, yeah.
So, I'm a perpetual work in progress.
Right.
I really am.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is you're aware of it, right?
Oh, I'm aware. I think the one other thing I learned from this DISC training, which is ongoing here, we continue to do it, but I did not know this. There's something like 85% of human beings want things in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you and I say that I thought I was being very clear.
Yeah.
You may have been very clear.
In my mind,
but what they expect you to do is then go back to your computer
And
recap what you just discussed so they have it in writing so that they can then process it fully. Not because it's the cover your ass thing.
Right.
But it's
kind of locks it down a little bit.
Yeah. Because they need to think it through.
Yeah.
They're nodding and saying, yes, I hear you.
Right.
But then they need to go take that extra minute and think it through.
Yeah.
So had I known that, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe Tipping Point would be $1 billion company by now. I don't know.
Right. There's still time.
There is time.
You're still very young. Very cool. So what are some of your own, just personal success habits? I always like to try to give our listeners, share some success habits of successful people like yourself. So, what do you do in your spare time for hobbies and just personal wellness?
Yeah. So I meditate, which
every day.
I do, yes. Nice. And I started doing transcendental meditation about 6 months ago.
What is that now?
It's a different form of meditation. To me, I find it's much easier than these other forms where you're supposed to be thinking about one specific thing and concentrating, repeating things.
The mantra.
Yeah, this is more free-flowing. You still have a mantra, but you allow your mind to process things as you're sitting there. And so I find that's really helped me stay centered.
You do that every morning?
Yeah, every morning and every night before I go to bed.
Wow, for how long?
10 minutes each time.
Wow.
You're supposed to do it for 20, but whatever.
Well, you're 20 a day.
Right. Now, I don't do it when I've gone out drinking for the afternoon.
Right, yeah, you'll fall asleep in the Zen.
But I try to do it every day. Yoga is also something that really centers me, and I think that whole idea of stretching and flexibility isn't just a physical thing. I think it's a mental thing.
Mm.
So I try to do that at least once or twice a week. I love to walk outside when it's nice out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know.
About 8 months a year, whole round.
But for fun, I think my real zen is boating.
Oh, wow.
That's right,
because you live on around Equipe.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how much I would love it until one day I just decided, I'm like, I live here on the bay. I need a boat. So I went and got one. I'm like, oh my God.
A little side note, you lived with, not with my dad, but you lived near my dad for a while until my parents moved out of the neighborhood.
Yes.
So you knew Sam and Annette Mamano.
Oh, I know. lovely people.
Thank you.
And I got to see the grandkids in the pool every once in a while.
That's right. Yeah.
So, those are the things I think that keep me mentally healthy in the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
Skiing is something that I find as relaxing as it can be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to do something to get out of the house, right?
Yeah, but there's something about being having the wind,
yeah,
you know, hitting my face and
yeah,
breathing fresh air that really
yeah
keeps me centered and healthy.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's working for you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
So you loved The Tipping Point. You said your favorite book.
Yep.
You know, what are some of your other books that you that really have affected you, or what are you reading now? What are some good recommendations, I guess?
Yeah, so. Good to Great is probably one of my all-time favorite business books. But right now, what am I reading? I am reading Why Do They Act That Way?
Hmm.
And it's a book on adolescence and
children
and what happens to their brain throughout the adolescence.
Oh my God! Is it a new release type of book? Or?
No, I think it's pretty old. But
yeah,
I needed something.
Yeah,
that's the other. We haven't talked about trying to be a mom and running a company.
Yeah,
it's challenging.
You have three kids?
No,
there?
Just two.
Two kids. Okay.
Just two.
Yeah,
and recently separated, so there's that whole thing.
So you're just juggling 15 balls.
Yeah. I love my business partner.
Yeah, that's good.
She's been doing it for a long time. She is a single mom with four boys.
Wow.
And her boys are all staggered in age.
Yeah.
And mine are at the tail end of hers. So she's been through everything that I'm about to go through.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah. So we're...
this is Barbara.
This is Barbara Pierce. She's amazing. Yep. And I got to tell you, I am putting my seatbelt on. I have a feeling this is going to be an interesting next 10 years.
Excellent, excellent. Well, on that note, Michelle, guess what?
Time's up.
We are out of time. It's it. It went fast, didn't it?
It did.
That was fun. I'm going to have you back on the show in less than 10 years.
All right. All right. Well, thank you.
So thank you, Michelle. And thank you, Avanti listeners, for listening. You can hear us every Monday through Friday. Right here, we put out a new show five days a week, new guests. I'm just feeding the funnel with great, great guests. In fact, if you know someone that would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, or maybe you want to be a guest, I'm always interviewing people that are CEOs, founders, successful business movers and shakers affecting the business community in Rochester, New York. Please send me an email, david@davidmamano.com. And we are out here. Thank you so much. And really appreciate you listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. You guys stay awesome.
Radio station that educates and inspires. 1310 WOKR.